are here on this special VOA podcast of Nothing But Net with Muck, Bill, and Sonny and Jackson. We got the team here with us. Gentlemen, how's it going, man? How are you guys feeling?
Hello.
Hey, I know when Action Jackson is in the studio, the energy level rises.
No pressure,
just
baby.
Like it rises.
What's pressure?
Always ready. Always ready. When I got cold, I'm like, I'm here. Let's do this.
Coach, put me in the game.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
As we were saying, the Sahara Conference has just finished. It was exciting. Honestly,
what a finish.
I can't even call it exciting. Yep. I think it's literally was so unexpected. You have five teams ending with three wins, two losses. Unfortunately, the defending champions, U.S. Monastir, on goal difference, were unable to make it through to the next round. Shocker, gentlemen?
Shocker for
Absolutely.
Sure. I actually had Monastir at the start dominating this conference. I thought they would, if not run away with first place, that they were definitely the team to beat. But four other teams had their say for sure. I think the fact that, you know, we had five teams that finished with the same record, it really speaks to how competitive that conference was.
And that's what I love about this league. And this is what it's showing us, that if you're not sure who's going to win, just the excitement also shows that, you know, other teams are putting in the work, you know. I thought, just like you, Sonny, that Monastir was going to dominate the Sahara Conference, most likely even win the trophy when they get May in Kigali. But, you know, what a big surprise.
You know, Jackson, as you mentioned, man, you know, looking at a team like U.S. Monastir, they were back-to-back finalists, right? So for them to have gone to the finals the first year and lose to Zamalek season one and then beat Petro season two, you're not expecting an early departure.
No,
the gentlemen
you're not.
Did not think they were going to Tunisia.
You know, one player we didn't see on Monastir this time around was the big man from Sudan, Majak.
Majak, yes.
He's moved on to Petro de Luanda. We'll talk about them a little later in this podcast. But what difference did he make, do you think, not being there in the middle for Monastir?
To me, if I would have to say, I think we'd all agree he was just a rim presence. He was a blocker. It's almost like he just was plugging up the paint. You couldn't get through to him. He's very athletic, long arms. You know, he's a player that, you know, not too many NBA or high-level players play like nowadays, right?
Absolutely.
Very much, you know, defense-oriented, fast, wants to, you know, get the block shots. He gets excited, and he was getting a lot of the crowd excited, too, last two seasons, just simply off of playing defense.
Yeah, I like him. He didn't he color his hair last year, too?
It was blue sometimes. Very Dennis Rodman-like, you know?
No, it was a big loss for Monastir not to have him. He was, like you said, a presence right under the rim right there. Nobody was passing him. And as much as the team was executing on the other side of the court, he was right there each time anybody would come. Not in this house. Not in this house.
The Mutombo wag.
Man.
I love it. I love that wag.
Shout out to Mutombo. How iconic is Mutombo's finger wag to the point where players like that are so much younger that probably never seen him play still emulate that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bill, I'm betting you never had a shot blocked, though, did you, in your career?
I have here and there. You know, I probably was a lot more excited because it doesn't happen so often. So if I get off the ground and get a block shot, trust me, I will let you know this is not happening again.
I have blocked a few shots in my career. And listen, it comes once in a while, but when it does happen,
it's exciting.
It's exciting. It feels good.
Yeah.
Well, I've been blocked many times.
Maybe on a more serious note, though, we do wish Dikembe Mutombo well. I know he's recovering from brain surgery.
Quick recovery to you, champ.
And, you know, maybe we'll see him later in this season, maybe during the playoffs in
Kigali,
Rwanda. That'd be great.
That would honestly be so amazing for the entire basketball community. You know, Dikembe Mutombo has been a ambassador for basketball to Africa when there was not that many, when it wasn't the cool thing to do, you know? So for him to champion this and him to be able to be okay after this really big surgery will mean a lot to everybody, honestly.
And getting back to that finger wag of Dikembe, In fact, the BAL, the Basketball Africa League, has named its Defensive Player of the Year award the Dikembe Mutombo Award, right after the
Big Man.
I mean,
who better to
How appropriate.
Yes.
Amazing, amazing. But, gentlemen, let's talk about the four teams that made it through to the finals or championship rounds in Kigali. Stade Malien, AS Douan, Rwanda Energy Group, the home team, and ABC Fighters.
Well, out of those four you mentioned, Mukbil, I think maybe the surprise team is Stade Malien. Making their debut in the Basketball Africa League, I certainly didn't pick them to top the table at the start. And two players in particular for Stade Malien, Diarra and Berthe, I thought they were just phenomenal in Dakar.
I would say ABC, Abidjan Basketball Club, also debutants in this league. And they really did great in the Sahara Conference, playing against some strong teams and beating them. I think it has to do a lot to do with
Coach Mills.
Oh, yeah. And she did a phenomenal job with that team. I was really, really surprised. I expected they were going to lose all the matches. But I mean, I did not think that any, you know, a team will come in and just, you know, shine like that on this level.
Honestly, you know, the interesting thing about it is we were having this conversation offline. Sometimes when you have teams that have been playing in the league for so long, you have film, right? Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, when they say veteran experience is one thing, it is, but then there's also something exciting and interesting about the unknown, and it actually helps you sometimes.
Yes.
Because if you're a debutante team, no one's ever seen how you play. They don't know your play calling. They don't know the style of pace. They don't know what to really expect, but you got a team like U.S. Monastir, and I think I really credit the fact that teams really locked in and studied film.
Yeah, they did.
Watched them and saw what it is that they do well and stopped them from doing what it is that they do well.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's how they were able to get them out, you know? So I think, to me, the debutant teams, honestly, sometimes might have a little bit of an advantage because you don't know. You know how it is. Sometimes you go play at a basketball court that you've never played at before. No one's seen you there before.
Right, right.
Every single move you're doing.
You're surprising.
It's working.
You're surprising everybody.
Everything's working.
I agree with you. On the court where we play with my guys,
right,
whenever we have a new kid coming in,
always
balls. But the second time he comes in,
lock him down.
We have figured you out.
Right.
We know your side of we know where you're
what
going.
You do, right.
Your right hand, your left arm is not quite as strong as your right, so we know how to block you.
Jackson,
you know,
and the crew did some film writing.
We would take some notes. We watch you.
We'll make sure this doesn't happen again. But yeah, no.
Well, getting back to Monastir, they finished fifth, and so they were out in terms of advancing. However, I got to cut them a little slack. Mm-hmm. They played back-to-back games, their final two games in Dakar, as did ABC Fighters. Mm-hmm. And both teams lost that second game by big margins. So I have to wonder, did they tire in that second game?
They're also not very young, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have, I think, one of the older teams in the league.
Right.
It's possible that they were tired, but it's also possible, that like you said, they have been studied. There's so much tape. You can tell.
You have two seasons worth of tape on Monastir.
Absolutely,
man.
Absolutely. You know? But honestly, that was, for me, a really big surprise that they were not able to make it.
Right.
And they didn't make it because of goal difference, I believe.
Yes,
you know, this was
absolutely
a little complex for me to understand.
Right.
Mukbil had to explain to me a little bit.
Yes. So because during their games, you know, the goal differential was just during your wins, how much did you win by, subtracted by how much did you lose by on your losses. So honestly speaking, a lot of the teams were relatively close. To have five teams all 3-2, and then everything comes down to goal differential. You can't get more. How is the Nile Conference gonna outdo the Sahara Conference?
Absolutely.
That's my question. But before we jump there, let's talk about some of these players. Sonny just mentioned, you know, Aliou Diarra, who to me has been the most impressive player in the conference.
I
so
would agree.
Far.
I think he was MVP of the Sahara Conference.
For sure. You know, young man, 21 years old. He's a big, you know, long arms, very athletic,
fluid.
Oh my goodness. And then it's like he plays on both ends. He has a teammate that scores just as much as he does, but isn't really necessarily as impactful as he is on a defensive end, which is Solomon Berthe, a stud as well. But he's more of the offensive juggernaut as opposed to his defensive prowess, right?
Can we also talk about Bile, though? Oh, Bile, man,
Bile. That's a great name. I actually kind of forgot about that name.
Shudia Bile. I mean, he was able really to come through for the team when Haruna was not able to.
Haruna was having a very tough shooting night, you know? He honestly had two tough shooting back-to-backs, actually, because in his last game, he also was struggling as well. So hopefully, we hope to see Haruna get back to his form, because we know he's a stellar mid-range kind of guy, and he's been playing well up until those last two games. But it could also be what Sonny and Jackson have been saying. Fatigue, man. Some of these back-to-backs on the older players, Haruna is not the youngest player.
although Mukbil, I must say, you know, NBA teams play back-to-back all the time.
Absolutely.
And we're talking, what are we talking, 6 games here?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you have to be ready to come out and go hard for all 6.
I agree.
But we got to think about NBA, and nowadays we have load management as well, right? So we have players that might not be able to go and say, hey, coach, I don't want to do this back-to-back.
And have somebody else in there.
Yeah, I might need this for the playoffs. You might have to hold me out, coach.
Getting back to Bile, and I like him. What a rugged player.
Oh.
But one local note, shout out for the DMV.
Oh, yeah.
Bile played his college basketball right here in Washington for the Georgetown Hoyas.
Hoyas.
And I'm thinking maybe that rugged style of his he got from Patrick Ewing.
Oh, it's definitely very possible, because you know how it is in the city.
Coach Ewing, who just departed the Hoyas after, what, almost 8 years at the helm. I mean, I'm sure you're right, Sonny. He probably, you know, gave him some of that, you know, the metal that he needs.
If we just look at the history of Georgetown basketball with the Thompsons as well, so it's like the style of play has always been round and pound.
Yes,
very physical,
I like that.
Yeah. Very physical. You got a guy, just think about, if we go as far back as Allen Iverson, he has a small guard, but look how physical he was. He never shied away from getting hit.
Yes.
He was almost always on the floor.
He was always in your fist.
Right? Always.
He was a football player in high school.
He was.
And he was a good football player.
All-state, you know, all-state. But I know if he would have played football, his career wouldn't have been that long.
Absolutely. But again, we should say, without Chodye Bile in the last two games, I don't think ABC would have been able to make it.
Oh, yeah. No, but that also, you know, let's attribute that to coaching, right, as well. During that time, I believe it was the game where Coach Liz Mills was out. Assistant Coach Eric Pinot was in there, I believe, and he honestly made the right call by, you know, making sure, hey, Haruna, let's sit down for a little bit.
It's not a good day for you today.
Let's just have a seat. Yeah. Let's just relax, you know, because you could see Haruna was getting frustrated.
Yeah.
The jumper wasn't going down. So what did he do? He just told him, listen, just wait it out.
Yeah.
You got teammates. This is a team game.
It's a team game.
Your team will uplift
Absolutely.
You. And honestly, that was one of my favorite games, because Kawara Falcons really put it all on the line.
Yep.
We're up maybe seven points in their last minute, kept going back and forth.
Playing for pride.
Yeah.
Playing for pride.
Yeah, but honestly speaking, even though they finished the conference without a single win, the gentlemen should hold their heads up high. They all came out to play. There were some stellar performances
100%.
In there.
And they were all competitive in all the games.
Yeah, there was no real blowouts for the Falcons. So it was just, you know, not having maybe that player that could just put them over the hump. Maybe, you know, next time they'll just need that key player, that gel guy that'll put them over the top.
Right.
But I
think later on also, I think the first match we watched with Sonny, we didn't see a lot of, we saw a lot of players in their singularity shining,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't feel like there was cohesion in many of these teams.
Right.
But as it progressively, it got better over and over. And that's when we see, you know, people like Chodye Bile, who would have been like a backbencher type
mm-hmm.
player
right.
coming in to shine
Absolutely.
Because the coach was able to, you know, bring
figure
him
out.
In when he's, you know, figure out when to bring him in
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to kind of you know, replace Runa when Runa was having a bad day.
No, I like that. Honestly, coaching, like we said, is very important. People don't understand, you know, what it really is to coach. Sometimes people just see coaches on the side thinking that they're just calling these plays, but that's not really what it is.
It's more about to it.
It's almost like a mental chess game between the two coaches. This is working. This team went on a run. So what are we going to do? How are we going to stop them? Maybe my best players on offense are not my best defensive players. So let me take them out a little bit. Let the defensive dogs go out there, you know what I'm saying, and work. You know, them boys work. So, man, honestly, so Stade Malien has been, you know, just from a team collective outside of the two-star players, has played an extremely amazing game. Talk to me about AS Douan. The home team,
yeah.
You know, for the conference.
In terms of the crowd in Dakar, they filled up the arena when AS Douan was playing, and I think they fed off that.
Right.
To really...
the sixth man.
Sixth man on the court. And right. I think, that definitely helped them. It'll be interesting to see whether, you know, the next round is in Cairo, whether Al Ahly can... feed off that
and capitalize on the home crowd.
On the energy.
Yes, I also expect that crowd will be more. There will be more presence inside the stadium than we saw in Dakar. But yeah. Didn't they lose their first game? Stade Malien.
AS Douan. Yes. I think they did.
They did lose their first game,
yep.
Which was really surprising because, right. You know, sometimes teams don't want to be embarrassed at the, you know, when
at
they
home?
Have that home court advantage
right.
to
but,
lose.
But way to turn it around.
Yeah, and they turned
because
it around.
Because I believe, I think it was, their first game, having lost that first game, coming back to go 0-1 and then to be able to turn everything around and finish off the table at second.
I had counted them out after that first game.
One game, may, Jax.
May,
one game.
That was me being pessimistic because right. they didn't play really well.
Yeah,
you know, and I guess they were playing against a team that was hungrier, that had more hunger for it. But I thought that after that first game, they probably going to lose the next couple. You know?
But they turned it around, man.
This is Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny and Action Jackson. We'll be back right after this promo shot. This is Nothing But Net with Mukbil and Sonny and Action Jackson Vunganyi.
Hello.
Coming up, we have the Nile Conference, which tips off on April 26th in Cairo, Egypt. And Mukbil, why don't you run down the six teams that will be competing in Cairo?
All right. So we have Al Ahly Sports Club that are from Egypt. They are the home team, so we'll see if they can, you know, utilize that home court advantage. We then have Petro de Luanda, you know, the vets are from
basketball powerhouse.
Angola, they are
former powerhouse.
Still a powerhouse, you know.
Maybe the favorite.
Honestly speaking, after their first two seasons, if teams haven't, you know, studied film on them.
Exactly.
It's going to be very interesting. Then we have ESLAC, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club, coming back, making a comeback after not being in season two. We have the Cape Town Tigers.
Yes.
You know,
featuring
Zaire Wade. You know, be very...
I love it. I love his first name.
Yeah, right.
You know, it works out so well. We will be very interested to see.
Of course, Zaire Wade, the son to the NBA legend,
Hall of Famer, Dwayne Wade.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see if D Wade pulls up for the conference.
I have no doubt
with Gabriella
Wilson,
Gabrielle Union. We will see. And then last but not least, the City Oilers from Uganda.
Yes.
You know, newcomers, but definitely if they take anything from the Sahara Conference, it is just because you're a new team doesn't mean you can't finish
a
top table.
Don't count them out.
So definitely they're going to come out with that energy. No one's really seen them play as much. You know, not too much film out there, so we will be interested to see. Who do you both feel like are the favorites for this conference?
Well, I did hear some comments from Liz Mills of ABC Fighters after their final placing in the Sahara Conference, and they finished as the fourth team in that table. And she said, as a result, in the next round in Kigali, or the playoffs, I should say, they got to go up against the number one seed. And she mentioned Petro, that they might have to go up against Petro de Luanda in their opening game in Kigali, which I don't think I'd want to go up against Petro right off the bat.
Petro, the most interesting thing about that team is that they have played together for so long, right? They have that team chemistry. Chemistry is one of those things that it's very difficult to build within a few weeks of training camp, right? It seems as if sometimes when you look at these players, they literally know where the other player is going before he gets there. The ball is there. This man just does a little V cut. He's there. It's a dunk. It's quick. You know, so, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see how Petro performs and if they're able to, you know, finish the top of the table. If they are, this might be the year that they get it. Mm. But let's not count out Al Ahly, who is a dominant powerhouse in Egypt.
Absolutely.
That were able to
beat
also
Zamalek.
Beat Zamalek out
Good
for the
point.
Season, right? To be the representatives from Egypt. So
they might actually be, correct me if I'm wrong, the oldest sports club in Africa.
I mean,
I know they Al Ahly competes
soccer,
in multiple sports.
Yeah.
Not just soccer, basketball. I think handball also.
Yeah, club sports across the board, I believe. Yeah, they are top one, top two.
I would say Cape Town Tigers are the dark horse in this one after being humiliated really last year.
Yeah, they did. They got beat badly by Monastir in the quarterfinals.
They have a chip on their shoulder now this time around. They have this new addition in Zaire.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what kind of impact is going to have on the team, but I know that many teams after they have lost their fast, you know, their first tournament usually come in the second time, you know, with some lessons to learn.
Right.
And I would look out for those, for the Cape Town Tigers.
One little fun fact about the Tigers, their head coach, his first name is Florsheim. And sure enough, I guess his father loved Florsheim shoes. So he decided to name his son after the shoes.
Florsheim.
Legendary.
Did you have him on the show at some point, Sonny?
Oh, that was the previous coach.
The previous coach,
okay. So they'll be stepping to a different coach this time around.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that turns out for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've made more other additions. Right now, the attention is in Zaire. But we, you know, I didn't even know they had a new coach.
Right.
If you know, the attention is on Zaire, it's kind of sucked that, you know, the air off of everybody.
Right.
But what other changes Cape Town Tigers has made to their roster?
Right.
To you know, new coach, new energy, new attitude.
Right.
They're here to win it. So I would really like look out for them.
No, for sure. We spoke to Captain Peter Prinsloo, who's going to be the returning captain. He's a baller, man, and he definitely understands what he needs to do in order to get the team going. So he was, I spoke to him, and he was letting me know that the team is very, very much on the conquest, man.
They're ready.
They're trying to take it, you know, obviously one game at a time, not looking too far in the future, but at the same time, they're really coming out here to play. So,
but I think it really makes a difference. You're bringing in a young player like Zaire Wade, that he gels with the team, that he has enough time to, you know, meet his teammates and figure out which way they're going to cut on plays, and so he can get them the ball.
The thing I like about Zaire's game, though, is that he's a, you know, he's a facilitator first type of guard. So those type of guards usually, because he's bringing the ball up majority of the time, it's not like he's looking for the ball himself. He has the ball in his hands and he can do what he wants with it, getting everybody involved and then having moments where he can kind of, you know, get to work as well. So I think from that perspective, it'll be a lot easier than maybe if he were playing a different position, maybe shooting guard or a small forward, where he has to rely on somebody else getting him touches. And every time he gets the ball, maybe he's looking to create for himself. So I think if they put him at the point, I think it'll work for them.
Action Jackson Vunganyi. What about those City Oilers?
The City Oilers from Kampala, Uganda.
Could they be a surprise team?
Listen, I would not count them out. I think they also are coming in this to win it. Uganda has a great legacy of basketball.
Okay.
Last 30 years now, I grew up in the city. I saw basketball, you know, come up. There used to be like one basketball court in the whole city, which was at the YMCA. It had potholes in it. But over the years, the infrastructure has improved. More young kids are playing. And City Oilers has great management.
Okay.
I spoke to people who have told me, listen, this team could as well win every all of it, actually. Not just the... So
I love
let's watch out for the City Oilers. There's a lot of confidence from people who have watched them play.
I think I'll give him a chance. I mean, just based on what Stade Malien and ABC Fighters have
has
done
been able, exactly.
as debutant teams.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think the league really has improved competitively. This most recent conference is proof of that. Five teams with the same record, 3-2. It shows you that it's going to be a fight, I think, in Cairo.
No, I think so as well. I think... what we've seen from the Sahara Conference and just seasons previous, every year the Basketball Africa League continues
gets
to improve.
Gets better.
You know, from every single perspective, you see the players to the teams, the team cohesion, chemistry, coaching, fan support. You know, I love the fact that they split it up into the conferences as well.
Which, I like that.
You know, even this year it seemed like the schedule was like further apart, so there were very few games where they were doing the back-to-backs. Majority of the games had spacing. You know, I really like what's going on. So now conference is going to be very exciting. I think, honestly, it's anyone's game, as we've seen in this first conference. For me, it's a clean slate.
And that's what I love about this. This is what I love about this is that you don't know who's going to win. Anybody, even the dark horse teams have a chance to beat the bigger teams. And if we have learned anything again from the Sahara Conference, mm-hmm. it's anybody's game.
Right.
And that shows improvement yeah. in the league.
Yeah.
It shows that the teams are putting in work. Mm-hmm. They're learning lessons from, you know, past games,
right.
whether it's the coaching, whether it's the player styles, kind of, to, you know, bolster. The only issue that I still have is, you know, building team chemistry mm-hmm. is tough when you're just bringing in new players.
Yeah, yep.
Each time
shorter
you're going
time.
To play at this type of platform. So
right. No,
maybe some consistency over yeah. the year.
One quick point about SLAC, Seydou Legacy Athletic Club. I do remember them from the inaugural season. Yeah. They were a rugged team.
Yeah.
They're very athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if they've improved
yeah.
and what they've learned from that debut season.
Absolutely. When you were already in a season and then you didn't make it back in, you definitely have another chip on your shoulder. So you want to make the best impression to make sure that you get to a further round so you're able to make sure that you continually sustain and stay in it.
Absolutely.
But to me, the most interesting thing about this league is the fact that you only have to play teams one time. So it doesn't mean that it has to be the better team that's going to win. It's the better team that night.
There you go.
Right?
Absolutely.
So all you got to do is just come in, play one game against
put your best foot forward.
Every single game.
Leave it on the court.
One time, leave it on the court.
Yeah.
You can come out undefeated.
Yeah. I agree.
Wishful thinking.
That's a great strategy. That's a great strategy.
Sign me up for coach.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point, Muckfield. I mean, do you think any team can run the table in Cairo?
Ooh. Honestly, I can't call it. There's too many teams that I haven't really seen outside of Petro, and that thing might happen where Petro, you know, we've seen how they play, so they might not necessarily be able to, you know, just get away with it
yeah.
as they have in previous seasons because they used to clean up conferences.
They did.
But yeah, man.
And yeah, listen, the home team for the Nile Conference. Like we said, sometimes the home team has that advantage, and if you capitalize on that advantage on the sixth man, I know the fan base in Cairo is, I guess, much more excited than in the Sahara Conference. And if they're able to come and fill the stadium each time El Hal is playing, you know, that could be the difference maker. You know.
Oh no, absolutely, gentlemen. It has been great. You know, it's very easy for us to just keep talking. It seems like time is not our friend at the moment.
Nothing but net.
Man, nothing but net with Muckbill and Sonny and Jackson. It's been great. You know, the Sahara Conference is done, and we are looking forward to the Nile Conference. And we will be back for more in the Nile Conference.